Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 verses 1 through 10. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore I do not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well, who had been sick. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, in whom alone we place our confidence and our trust for this life and for eternity, dear fellow redeemed. During the past several weeks of Epiphany, we've been reminding ourselves that the main thought of Epiphany is the manifestation or the showing forth of Jesus as true God, especially by his miracles. We also said Epiphany is the Gentile Christmas, because it's when Jesus was celebrated at his birth by the first Gentile Christians that we know of in the New Testament, the wise men from the East. Well, this morning's sermon text takes both of those thoughts and combines them into one. Jesus demonstrates himself, shows himself to be God through a miracle. And it was the Roman centurion, a Gentile, who was the recipient of that miracle and was able to see that blessed Epiphany. What is faith? Most of us know the word faith means to trust in, or to rely on. But to trust in what? To rely on whom or what? The world, she doesn't know. Very often you read in the Reader's Digest or see on TV someone that went through a very traumatic event, maybe almost died, and they'll say, but my faith got me through. And you listen carefully and they're talking about faith in themselves, or faith in someone else, or faith in mankind, or faith in the American spirit. Whenever the word faith is used in the Bible, it's always talking about the triune God or our Savior Jesus. The word faith literally means firm persuasion or conviction or confidence based upon hearing. As we said, it's always used in connection with God or Jesus or in spiritual things. Well, in our text this morning, we have the answer to this question. What kind of faith does Jesus call great? Only twice in the New Testament that we know of, Jesus said to someone, your faith is great. Once here in our text with the Roman centurion. The other time was with the woman, the Canaanite woman, who persistently kept on following Jesus to have him heal her demon-possessed daughter. Just a note that both of these people were Gentiles. They're not Jewish people. They probably didn't have the message of the Savior from little on. And in both cases where Jesus said, your faith is great, they both were requesting something not for themselves, but for someone else. And that leads us to the first point of our sermon this morning. What kind of faith did Jesus call great? First of all, it's an unselfish faith, one which thinks of others first and not of oneself. This centurion, commander of 100 soldiers, loved his soldiers, loved his servants. One of his servants, not a soldier, but one of his slaves, probably an enemy who had been captured, that's who they made slaves, was dying. And this centurion loved him so much that he wanted to find someone who could take care of him. And so the only place he knew of that could take care of him, because he was going to be dying, was God. Evidently, this man was a proselyte, a Gentile who had been converted to Judaism. He believed in Jehovah, the coming Messiah. He loved the Jewish people. That's very strange. Most Roman soldiers, especially Roman centurions, didn't love the Jewish people, nor did the Jewish people love them. This centurion showed his love for the Jewish people by building a synagogue for them in Capernaum. And so in these few verses, we have this beautiful picture drawn of this unique individual. He was a Roman. He was a centurion. He believed in the Lord, the coming Messiah. He loved the Jewish people. He built a synagogue for the Jewish people. And he deeply loved his soldiers and his slaves. Quite an unselfish faith. Secondly, we see that this man had a faith that looked to Christ alone. It was a Christ-centered faith. This man knew that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah, the promised one of the Old Testament, the chosen one, the Son of God. He knew that Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, so he goes to Jesus to heal. Our text says that he heard about Jesus. Maybe he heard the message of Jesus' sermons. Maybe he heard that Jesus is a miracle worker. Maybe he heard that Jesus said that he was the Son of God. And that faith, that word, worked faith in his heart to believe in Jesus as his Lord and as his Savior. And he knew that this Savior of his could heal his servant. Thirdly, we see that Jesus has a great faith is a humble faith, one that depends upon God's grace alone, not on many merit of our own. We notice two things about the manner in which this man came to Jesus. First of all, he asked the Jewish elders to go and search for Jesus and find him and ask to come and heal his servant. And then when he sees Jesus coming close to his house, he sends his friends out to tell Jesus, "Now don't even come into my home," and say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I do not even think myself worthy to come to you." Wow. What a humble man. And yet this man has power. This man has authority. He runs a garrison, an outpost. He has 100 soldiers over him, not counting slaves. And yet, he humbly didn't want Jesus to come to his house because he felt he was unworthy. No doubt he was born a heathen, a Gentile, probably taught to trust himself. And as a Roman soldier, you can bet he was trained to rely upon his own strength, upon his own willpower, to be the best he could be, to glory and boast about his goodness and his strength and his power, to trust in the Roman emperor and the Roman Empire. And yet now, he's humbly sending friends to tell Jesus, "I'm not even worthy for you to set foot into my house." We also see that he didn't mention any of the things that he had done. He didn't say, "Oh, by the way, Jesus, I love the Jewish people very much, and I built this temple for them in Capernaum." It was the Jewish elders that brought that up. They're the ones that said, "You need a Jewish Jesus because he's worthy of your help." He didn't mention that at all. He humbly, as a sinner, comes before his God and his Lord, unworthy. And that's also what great faith is. Great faith is one which acknowledges one's own sins and depends entirely upon God's grace in Christ Jesus, not one's own works, one's own merits. This man didn't expect some reward. He didn't expect Jesus to say, "Oh, thank you for doing this for my people. Here, I'll heal your servant in return. He didn't expect honor or praise or glory. He was simply one sinner coming before his Lord, his Savior, his King. And finally, we see that Jesus has a faith that is as great as a faith which completely trusts in God's word. The centurion knew that Jesus had the power to heal. If he has the power to heal, he doesn't have to be there to touch or to see the sick man. All he has to do is say the word, and it'd be done. And he tells it to Jesus. He said, I'm a man under authority. There's many men above me, and yet I have people under me too. When I say something, my servants jump. My soldiers do it. That's little power. You're the very Son of God. You rule all things. Your word is the most powerful word. Your word can do whatever you expect it to do. And therefore, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And even Jesus was astonished. Amazed, he says, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Not even among his own disciples. And especially not among the priests and the Pharisees, the scribes and teachers of the law in the temple. Well, you know what question we need to ask ourselves this morning, don't you? We need to ask a question. Does Jesus, is he amazed at our faith? Is Jesus amazed because of our great faith? Or is he often amazed because of the weakness of our faith? Is ours an unselfish faith? One which looks out for the welfare of others more than ourselves? Or do we find ourselves more often serving ourselves rather than caring about the welfare of others? Do we have a genuine, real concern and interest for the well-being, for the welfare of others? Our family, our friends, classmates, neighbors, fellow workers, congregation members, the poor, the needy, strangers, especially those who don't know Jesus, the unbelievers. Do we seek the welfare of others and then trust Jesus to take care of us? Great faith realizes that we have all of our needs met by the most important one, Jesus himself. Our purpose, our calling here on this earth is to serve him by serving others, putting God first and others first in our lives. That's great faith. Is our faith Christ-centered? Or do we often place our faith in material things or in people like doctors, government rulers, our armed forces, our job, our bank accounts, our health, our retirement benefits? Where do we put our faith in our faith? Saying, we rely upon our faith to get us through. True faith relies only upon Jesus and knows that Jesus is the one who came to not only forgive us our sins by paying the price of his death and damnation and resurrection, but he will give us every needed thing that we need in this world, all the blessings. This faith comes from a conviction that is worked in us through the gospel, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, our personal Lord and Savior, and the Savior of all people. Thirdly, is ours a humble faith, one which relies entirely upon God's grace and mercy without thinking about any of the works or merits that we have? How can it be otherwise if we're honest with ourselves? If you're honest with yourself, you look back at your life and say, yeesh, those thoughts I had this last week, self-centered, sometimes lustful, selfish, those mean, wicked words that I said that hurt others, those actions that I did, how can I be deserving of God's goodness? How can I say, God, I deserve to have you do this for me because of... Now, the Holy Spirit leads us to realize that what we deserve from our Lord is death and damnation. So humble faith comes before the Lord, confessing our sins, trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Who of us would be so humble? If we saw Jesus walking down the street, we wouldn't run up to him and say, Jesus, I love you, I serve you, I believe in you, please help me. Or who of us would be so humble and say, no, don't come into my house, Lord. I don't deserve for you to enter into my home. And yet that's what the servant did. In times of crisis, we often forget our humility. By nature, we surely wouldn't feel that way. By nature, we believe that we deserve certain things, and yet we are really nothing before our Creator, Redeemer, by nature. Finally, is our faith a faith that completely, entirely relies upon God's Word? When we face a crisis, when we face a temptation, when we face a difficult decision to make, do we rely upon what Jesus tells us in His Word, or do we go our own way? When we go our way, do we still worry and fret and doubt and are filled with anxiety? The Lord says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do we believe that? The Lord says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Do we trust that? We're told the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do we have the confidence knowing that God's Word is truth, and that's the only truth we need to see us through every single circumstance of our life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The Corinthian believed, and his simple faith said, say the word, Lord, and it will be done. Jesus' word has the power to heal, has the power to forgive, has the power to control nature, has the power to raise the dead, has the power to create and strengthen faith, has the power to rebuild and restore lives and relationships, has the power to bring peace and contentment to our hearts, and so much more. Our text closes with these words. Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well, who had been sick. A faith which takes Jesus at his word will never be disappointed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.